On the Fly with Jaymon G, roving the grounds of Oshkosh, covering air venture A to Z. In Warbirds, in ultralights, down on the farm, at the museum and Pioneer Airport, at the seaplane base, over at the Vintage Red Barn, at the EAA Air Academy, at the Aviation Learning Center, at Lightsport. On the Fly is on the air. And now, your host, Jaymon G.
Jaymon G, we are back at the LSA Mall, AM 1210, 93.1 FM, and on the web at airventure.org, worldwide, EA Radio. And our On the Fly segment takes us down here to some really cool airplanes. And we've been talking to some really neat people in the industry, and I'm joined now by Scott Severin from Indus Aviation out of Dallas. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going great. It's very comfortable out here. We just watched the A380 take off and do a couple of non-LSA maneuvers.
Yeah, close. Nowhere but Oshkosh. You get this great mix, huh?
No, not at all. It's been very interesting. I was up in our studios in the sky over at the Phobes Broadcast Center earlier today, and taxiing one way, coming by on the runway, was an F-15. And taxiing the other way was some kind of old World War I replica airplane, and they crossed right in front of each other. And I just thought to myself, where else?
There's exactly right.
Nowhere else in the world could you see that. So, Scott, tell us about how you and Indus got into the whole light sport movement.
Well, sure. Our owner, Ron Patisipu, saw light sport coming on the horizon back in the early 2000s. And he saw the opportunity of obtaining the type certificate for the T211. John Thorpe was the designer of the aircraft. The aircraft was type certified in 1946, actually, as a regular aircraft. CAR 3 certification was the time. So the airplane fits into the light sport category very closely. So part of Rom's world vision is not only to introduce the T211 to the light sport segment in the United States, but also to help revitalize general aviation in emerging economies around the world. And one example is in India, where there's quite an infrastructure of airports from the war back in World War II. So there are a lot of airports around there, manned quite a bit of aviation industry for ATP. And his vision is to vitalize general aviation there to create that, to bridge the gap between learning to fly and going through the ranks and then flying commercially. So this airplane is has got the range and the durability to work off of a rougher environment, and works excellent as a trainer to get a lot of new starts up into the air. So he then brought this into light sport, and we also manufacture over in India for the Indian market to support the flight training curriculums in India.
Well, and that is, it has been this moment, not so much because of our worldwide recession in the economy, but India has had a problem with finding qualified pilots for their massively fast-growing airline market there. You know, it seems like they get a new airline in India every week.
Gosh, I think last year 12 new airlines opened up.
And they're all expat pilots for the most part. So this is quite the movement. He's embarking on quite the task.
Well, it's diversified all around the globe, in India and operations in China that Ram is working on now. And the United States is actually just a small part of the whole economy and the structure behind Indus. We're based in Dallas, however. That's our international headquarters, and we manufacture the light sport aircraft for the United States here in Dallas.
Is it just the one model that you have now?
Well, we've got the one airframe that was the certified airframe from 1946, but we've got a broad array of engines depending on the application. We started out with the Jabiru 6-cylinder 120 horse, which is just a wonderful engine. The aircraft on the type certificate has the Continental 0200 100 horsepower engine, and we thought with the light sport that we'd like to increase the useful load a little bit more and get a little sportier. So we went with 120 horsepower on the Jabiru, which is a lovely engine and makes the airplane very exciting. We then introduced the Jabiru 85, the 2200, which is an 85 horse four-cylinder engine, to more mimic the original Thorpe T11, which was about an 80 horse engine. However, it's got a lot less weight. In fact, the Thorpedo 85 with the 85 horse Jabiru performs a little bit better than the Continental 0200 that it was type certified with in the mid 90s. It's got a much lighter engine, and many 0200s put out 100 horsepower, but some don't quite get to that manufacturer specification. So the little four cylinder is an awesome little engine. While it puts out 85 horsepower, it's very lightweight, and it handily outperforms a 152 or aircraft of that caliber, which it was designed to compete with back in the 40s. So then through the evolution and in the quest of creating an aircraft that's usable around the planet, we've been working with the Wham 100, which is a three-cylinder, two-cycle a diesel engine. It's supercharged and turbocharged, and the idea being there is that it accepts Jet A fuel, kerosene, green or red diesel, and we soon hope to prove it on biodiesel fuels. The idea being, though, that the mechanical equipment, machinery around the world works on diesel, and you don't find 100 low lead just everywhere. So in emerging economies, the diesel engine is very, very practical, aside from the long overhaul times and the longevity of a diesel engine. It makes the aircraft really usable in far-reaching places in the world. So that aircraft may not enjoy great popularity in the United States, but certainly will around the world where diesel is a common lubricant and fuel. So then beyond that, we've kind of done full circle, which is human nature and what happens in aviation. And this year, we've just introduced the Thorpe with the Continental 0200 for light sport aircraft, which the 0200 has been available for the production of the Part 23 aircraft, but not for the light sport. So we're real excited this year then to bring the 0200 back into the airframe.
Now, that would be the 0200D model, the new lightweight 0200?
We'll use the standard, we've got an A configuration that was in the type certificate, and we'll use that, and as a D becomes readily available, then I'm sure we'll be putting that in the airframe as well.
Yeah, I hear good things about that, weight-wise.
Real exciting what Continental has done with that engine, and we're real excited to see that one come to market.
So let's talk some more about Indus. What else do you folks have going on? What's down the road other than the diesel? You have any other airplanes in the plan, or?
Well, gosh, there, you know, I'd tell you, but I'd have to kill you. Golly dog.
Man, you're the second guy to tell me that today.
Well, you know, the manufacturers like to keep some of the fun under the wraps and wait till Christmas morning to open the presents. It is a pretty diversified company, though, I will say that. And there's some fun stuff going on around the factory. And
no one has told me yet that they're growing into the drone market, and I think LSAs would be great in the drone market.
You know, you would think that it would be real appropriate, just a natural segue into that, and I would think that someone might be doing that.
Don't shoot me. Whatever you do, don't shoot me.
No way, no way.
So, Scott, you are involved somewhat in the regulatory process at Indus with the LSA market. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, absolutely. We've got a pretty deep history in that I was one of the charter members of the FAA advisory committee that developed the light sport rule 10 or 15 years ago. And then through that came the adoption of the ASTM standards that all the aircraft are designed to. So, of course, we're on the ASTM committees that helped develop the regulation, not only on the aircraft side, but we were very involved in the engine side in the development of the standard for the diesel engine. That's been of particular interest in our developing the diesel application for our aircraft. So we work pretty diligently with that standard as well, not only here in the United States, but abroad, and integrating the light sport regulatory framework into India, for example. India looks like they're pretty close to adopting the ASTM standard process over there. And if we can get the harmony into Europe and India and places like China so that everyone's working off the same standard, then that just really improves the economic climate all around for the manufacturers and the consumers, and it just makes the whole business model work much more effectively. So we're working pretty strongly with the other manufacturers and with the government entities around the world to understand the benefits of the ASTM standard process and adopt those around the planet.
I had somebody else talk to me about China today. And what's happening with China and light sport?
Well, China seems real interested in aviation. You know, there's a lot of aircraft going over there, and of course with Cessna doing the manufacturing over there, it looks like the aviation climate, the regulatory climate, is opening up for not just industry but recreational flying and more than just commercial application. There's a good economic class in China that can take advantage of this type of aircraft, and there's certainly the technical expertise and industry to be able to build the kind of aircraft correctly over there. So several companies are over there finding how to fit in and where they can integrate to bring product into China. And there's no reason not to, right? With the all of the exchange of parts and economies globally, it just is a real natural fit to provide where there's a demand and create the, and provide the supply there.
Well, maybe create the demand, because they don't really have a general aviation market.
Well, no, they really don't. And that's part of the regulatory framework as well that needs to be integrated and adopted. China's a great, great market. There are a lot of Chinese over there that I think are real interested.
Oh, there's
ready.
A lot of Chinese. If they were allowed to fly, I'm sure there'd be a lot of interest. I don't know how they're going to structure it or what they do. I think more likely what we're going to see is we're going to see the Chinese manufacturing LSAs, and the rest of us are all going to be buying them.
Well, that looks like the business model that Cessna is using, certainly. And we know they have outstanding manufacturing capability.
So if you tell them what to do, they'll do it. Provide a little quality control in there, and they'll give you a product.
Well, Walmart has proven the point there.
Walmart has proven the point.
There are a lot of good models to follow. So there's great opportunity there, and why not take advantage?
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us today, and it's been our pleasure seeing you down here at the LSA Mall. We wish you luck with the program up there at Indus. And,
yeah, thanks
and
much.
And maybe next year we'll be talking about predators and things like that.
We'll have
you
all
never
kinds
know.
Of new products next year to come look in.
Really good. All right. Scott, it's been my pleasure. Jay Monchi, we are down at the LSA Mall, and we are going to take a break and be right back for our last segment of today's On the Fly.